Is there a difference between a connection and an attachment? My name is Dawn Culp. I'm a certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, meditation coach, and owner of the Zen Room in Gilroy, California. You can also find us online at www.thezenroom.net. And today we're going to be looking at the difference between connection and attachment. Hi, everybody, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Zen Room. So today's conversation is going to be around the difference between connection and attachment. And this information came to me, a lot of it came to me through meditation. And also, as many of you are going to be maybe drawing some parallels as you listen to this conversation, personal experiences, okay? So I feel as though there is a pretty distinctive difference between connection and a detachment. And for those of you who this is going to resonate really strongly with, I hope that you're able to take a few nuggets and apply them to your own life. And then others might listen to this and go, that doesn't really resonate with me at all. And that's fine too. Okay. So here we go. Just like we have in many other podcasts, I do like to start with a technical definition, if we can all get on the same page and make sure that we are all talking about the same, looking at the words in the same way, then that's going to be a good starting point. So Merriam-Webster, I went to Merriam-Webster and I looked up the definition for connect or connection. Okay. So connect, very simple definition, to become joined. You think about a connecting flight. A connecting flight is going to join two flights. If you think about back when operators used to have to use a switchboard, they would use a switchboard to connect two people over the phone line. It was basically joining, to become joined or to join. Pretty simple, pretty basic. When I looked up the definition of the word attach, I was kind of taken back by the first definition of the word attach. It is to take by legal authority, especially under a writ, to attach a property. If you owe back taxes and the government is going to attach your wages, right? All of a sudden, as I'm starting to think about the word attach, I'm not so sure that this is a great thing. I'm starting to lean more towards going, yes, I think connection feels like maybe a more aligned or healthier choice here. But in my meditation, what I want to share with all of you is there definitely were some strong differences between the word connect and the word attach. For me, connection was all very much around the heart. It is a heartfelt connection. You do the right thing, or the quote-unquote the right thing, because it's best for all involved. Connection is very selfless. Connection shrinks the ego. Connection is a beautiful thing. It's not always an easy thing, because if you really, really, what do they say? If you really love someone, you have to set them free, right? So connection, love, selfless, free, shrinks the ego. Very, very heart-centered, okay? Then you go over to the word attachment, and attachment is very selfish. It is very controlling. It is very much, a lot of times it's because your own survival is intertwined with it. Attachment strengthens the ego. So conversation between connection, which is love, and attachment, which is survival, and it starts to color your world or our world differently. So let's think about this for a moment. You have got all of us, if we are adults over the age of 40, let's just say, and even for those of you younger listeners, you can go back into your earlier times and probably find one of these as well. We all have at least one ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend in our dating history where it was probably more of an attachment than it was a connection. So, for instance, let's say that I wasn't necessarily a very popular person When I was in high school, I had a handful of really good friends, but I was not one of those people who just had a ton of friends and got invited to every party and everybody loved me. I just wasn't. That was not my experience at all. I tended to be more introverted, energetically overwhelmed, didn't understand it at the time, and just kind of found myself, yeah, being overwhelmed in big crowds. So for me, I tended to be a little bit more on the meek side or the introverted side. And some people even would go as far as to say more of the depressed side. And I would totally agree with that. So for all of those reasons, I tended to find myself being drawn to people who were more grounded than I was, people who were more sure of themselves than I was, people who were more vocal, people who were more popular for sure. If I could attach myself to a popular friend, then I got to go along for the ride and get invited just, you know, by association. I wasn't going to get invited to a party on my own merits, so I needed to attach myself to well-liked people. It was a survival thing. Otherwise, I wasn't going to have any friends and I wasn't going to be eating lunch with anybody. So I, unbeknownst to me, in order to survive high school, found myself attaching myself to friends and even my boyfriend in high school because they were well-liked, well-respected, and popular. And I got to feel good just by being next to them. And to be associated with them and to get invited to the parties that they got invited to. At the time, I did not realize what I was doing. At the time, I thought, well, this is just how you survive high school. Otherwise, you're going to get teased and bullied and whatever. So those were attachments. Those were full-blown attachments. And it wasn't a good thing or a bad thing, but it was what it was. Connection. I learned about connection much later in life. I learned about true friendship much later in life. Those connections where, oh my gosh, I am so sorry to hear that you are moving away, but I know it's what's best for you. Oh my gosh, I'm going to miss you terribly, but I'm so happy for you. And, you know, to this day, months and months can go by and that connection is still strong. If I were to call that person today, I would be able to talk to that person as if no time had passed. It's a real true connection. My survival was not intertwined or wrapped up at all in those friendships, which means her moving away didn't impact me in any way, shape, or form. I wasn't financially dependent on her, so I didn't have to like go get a job because she moved away. I wasn't artificially grounding into her, meaning from an energetic standpoint, meaning if she was really, really stable and I was really, really flighty, then sometimes just being close to someone who's really grounded helps to make you feel more stable. There was nothing that was based on my survival was intertwined in that friendship. Therefore, when she moved away, I was the same person. When she moved away, nothing changed in my life except that I missed her a little bit. Okay. But it was still a connection. I'm happy for her. Still happy for her. No love lost. Great connection that spans several states now. Okay. Now, had I been attached to her, had it been my identity was wrapped up in being her friend and I wasn't sure who I was going to be once she moved away, then that would have been a much different story. I probably would have told her not to move away and tried to give her a million reasons to convince her not to move away. Because who am I if I'm not so-and-so's friend? Or who am I without so-and-so there to get me into the party? Or who am I without so-and-so there to, you know, open doors for me in some way, shape, or form? That would have been an attachment. That would have been a self-serving attachment. So, as we start to get more clear about the difference between a connection and an attachment, it's useful for us to say, all right, now that I know that this, that my, what I thought was a connection with this particular person is actually got a shred or a thread of attachment, how can I change that? Okay. It's all of the people who are staying or leaving because it's no longer a healthy bond. So again, I'm going to go through a couple of the checkpoints here. Connection is going to be very love-based, which means, yes, I'll miss you, but I know it's best for you, and I love you, so I got to let you go. Versus, you can't go, that's a horrible idea, and let me give you 15 million reasons why. Okay. Connection is selfless. Attachment is selfish. Connection is very free. Very free. Meaning, oh gosh, I'm going to miss you to death, but go, spread your wings and fly. Attachment is very controlling. No, I want you to stay, and I will maneuver some things on the chessboard to make sure that that I make it harder for you to go. Connection shrinks the ego because it's about them, not about you. And attachment strengthens the ego. No, it's about me. It's about me, and I want to be satisfied even if you're miserable. Okay? Those are very, very big, big differences. In my meditation, like I said, the connection felt very heart to heart. It felt like if you can imagine an invisible cord or an invisible tube that energy flows back and forth between the two hearts, it's going to be heart to heart. When you think about attachment, attachment did not appear to me in my meditation as a heart connection. It felt attached at the solar plexus, at the sacral, or at the root. So the bottom three. A lot of times people don't know who they are without their friend or their spouse or their family, relative, whatever. They don't know who they are. They don't know what life looks like without that person. It very much is a matter of if this person is no longer in my geographical or my life proximity, who am I without that person? And that is where the real true work begins. So if you think of yourself, anybody in the world thinks of themselves as a sponge. Imagine there's a dry sponge and a wet sponge. And you can be somewhere between super dry and totally saturated. And then there's this whole range in between. If you find yourself taking that sponge and putting it in a glass of water with red dye, it will, a wet sponge can only get so much more wet. It will take a while, a long, long, long while for the red dye to penetrate into the sponge. In fact, it may never fully penetrate because it's already full of water. If you take a totally dry, dehydrated sponge and put that sponge into the glass of red dye, it's going to be red in a hot minute. Now, it's not a perfect analogy, but I'm trying to make the point. If you feel as though one of your relationships is more of an attachment than a connection, your sponge is probably too dry. Okay? Hopefully, like I said, it's not a perfect metaphor, but it's close. Why is your sponge so dry? Are you not fulfilled in your work? Are you not fulfilled in your job? Do you not have enough passion in your life? Do you not have enough exciting, fun things going on? Do you feel yourself bored? Why is your sponge so dry? A lot of times we will have an attachment with other people for the sake of wetting our sponge. For the sake of feeling like, oh, it's because of this person that I am fulfilled. As opposed to, nope, my sponge is wet, their sponge is wet. When we get together, we have a lot of things to share. But when we have to go back to our lives and, you know, get on with life, there isn't this huge, crazy hole. There isn't this huge void, for lack of a better word. So maybe if you find yourself in a situation where it's definitely leaning much more towards attachment than connection, ask yourself if your sponge is too dry. Ask yourself if you, all by yourself, living the life that you have created for yourself, if it is fulfilling. If the answer is no, that's where the work starts. Find things to fulfill yourself. Do things that excite you and inspire you. Do more for yourself. And next thing you know, some of those old attachments, if they are really truly strong enough to move into a love connection, they're going to thrive. Those relationships are going to thrive. It's not this constant power exchange, right? There's a difference. So if you think of attachment as a power exchange, my sponge is dry and your sponge is wet, so I'm going to smush my sponge up against your sponge and soak up some of your water. Well, that's taking some power. That is a power exchange. That means in order for your sponge to be more wet, their sponge just got more dry. Okay? As opposed to saying, why don't you keep living your fulfilling, wonderful life? I'm going to start fulfilling my wonderful life. And then when we come together, we're not having to exchange water from one sponge to another. We both have plenty. We're just sharing our experiences now. We are connecting. We are two whole people enjoying the moment. That means that when those two people break, they go back home. Again, there's not this huge void. So, my request for you, if any part of this podcast has resonated with you, ask yourself, is this an attached-based relationship or a connection-based relationship? Now, for some of you, you've got really, really small babies. There is definitely a different, or small children. It's different because they are so reliant on you. Yes, there is a bit of an attachment, quite a bit of an attachment, because they rely on you for their survival. Again, remember that word survival falls under the attachment umbrella. If you decide not to feed them, a 10-month-old baby, if you decide not to feed them, they don't make themselves a sandwich. Like, they are fully, fully dependent on you for their survival. But as that child starts to grow, and as that child becomes more self-sufficient, little by little by little by little, and every new day and every new year, they become more and more self-sufficient. The idea is to get them so self-sufficient and so full, get their own sponge so full that when it comes time for them to go and live their life, it is shifted from being an attachment to being a connection. And it will... they will be able to go off. You'll be able to stay behind, both with full sponges, excited for the future. So there are certain relationships where attachment is obvious. If you find yourself in a temporary situation, I remember this is a really bad example, but I'll use it anyway. 1 year, my husband and I, with a couple of friends, went to Disneyland, and I had twisted my ankle in such a way, it felt like if my chiropractor were there, he could have popped my ankle right back into place. But every step that I took, I felt a little zinger. And I told Chad, my husband, I said, I don't know if I can go on anymore. I don't know how much more walking I can do. And he said, well, do you want to get a wheelchair? And I said, I don't want to hold back our friends, and what I really need to do is not step on it, so gosh, maybe I do. So we went to one of the little places where you can borrow a wheelchair for a day, and I sat in it, and Chad was pushing me around. And in that moment, I didn't like that at all. I felt way too dependent. I'm like, I think I can drive this thing myself, except it was super awkward. And I just remember thinking, wow, I am so used to being so dependent on myself that it felt strange to even let Chad push me around. So I said, I can't do this. Like, I can't do this. So we just all decided that we were going to return the wheelchair back. And hey, for some people, it's more than just, oh, I twisted my ankle a little bit. They're really laid up. They're really, you know, they've got both legs in a cast because of a horrible car accident, or they have needed to move to a wheelchair and they are relying on the help of other people. And for some of them, they step into that role and they can own it. And some people really resist it and say, I don't like being dependent on other people. And really, truly, it is a hard thing for them to do. Women, there are women who don't want to ever give up their day job because they like earning their own paycheck. They don't want to feel like they are attached to their husband because they are the financial breadwinners. And other women, they don't mind. Other women, they're like, no, I see the value in staying home and raising the children, and it's fine. That's where that whole know thyself comes in. There's no right or wrong. There's no should or shouldn't. There's just what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And that is going to be different across the board. There are times in my life where I have been definitely more lean on my husband more. 99% of the time, I'm very much on my feet, but I am very aware that there are moments when I have slipped into need, or I felt like I needed him more. And I just let that be the case, because you know what? Life is just going to ebb and flow those ways. And I didn't beat myself up for it. I let it be what it was. I told him I was aware. Hey, I am feeling very needy right now and maybe needing a little extra shoulder to lean on. And it's been fine. Again, there's no right or wrong. It's understanding the difference between, in this moment, I'm feeling like my survival is more dependent on you than normal. Right now, my survival, even if it's my emotional survival, is more dependent on you, my husband, than it normally is. And that's okay. But when that happens, even after being married however long we've been married, 16 years, it doesn't happen that often. But when it does, it's usually during a hard time, physically or emotionally. And it's usually, it kind of comes in a flash. But what I will say is, I am always aware when I have kind of moved from more of an attachment than I am used to. I am always aware of it. There's a feeling that happens inside. When it happens, that's when I know, Dawn, I got to go to work on me. That's when I say, I need to figure out what the root cause of this extra neediness is. Or, hey, really, truly, if I broke my leg and I knew I was going to get out of the cast in 6 weeks, I could probably let my husband drive me around in a wheelchair. But then there's a part of me that says, no, you'd need to drive the darn thing yourself. You just would, because you are somebody that likes to be self-contained and manage yourself. So would I let him drive me around? Maybe for a minute, but then I'd probably figure out a way of figuring out how to maneuver the wheelchair myself so that I didn't feel like I needed him. Okay, so are there going to be times when you are going to lean on your friends a little more? Maybe feel a little bit more needy. Maybe feel a little bit more like your connection went from a connection to attachment. Of course. My ask of you is, when that happens, be aware of it and go into self-nurture mode. Find the root cause of it, get to the bottom of it, and start nurturing yourself, whatever that looks like to you. you are going to most likely move from connection to attachment and back again several times in the span of any friendship. But if you feel yourself moving into that area of attachment, where for whatever reason my emotional and or physical survival is a little too heavy on you as a friend, a family member, or a partner, or a spouse, or several. I mean, you might have a couple of different friends that you're doing that with. Be aware of it. Get to the root of it. Nurture yourself. If you can do that, you will find yourself moving into a really free feeling. It is such a free feeling. It feels so good. So, again, the purpose of this podcast is not to say, if you have relationships out there where it's 90% attachment and 10% connection, that makes you a bad person. I'm not saying that makes you a bad person. I'm saying if it doesn't feel good to you, start shifting. Start nurturing yourself so that you can start moving out of attachment and into connection. Knowing that nobody is going to be perfect 100% of the time, and even the most healthy, physically, emotionally, spiritually, energetic, even those people are going to go through hard times and maybe find themselves reverting into more of a needy, quote-unquote needy place, falling under attachment. Just be aware of it. Look at it as a sign to start taking care of yourself so that you can start to move back to standing on your own two feet again. Okay? This was a big conversation. We have all been in both kinds of relationships. We are all aware of, hopefully, we are all aware of the difference between the two. And my hope for everybody listening is that we take enough time and care to move more towards connection-based relationships and away from attachment-based relationships. All right, everybody. Well, I would like to thank you for listening to this podcast, for taking your time to give this a listen. And I hope that you will take what works for you and move forward with it. And I look forward to connecting with you in future podcasts. But for now, may the force be with you. Have a good rest of your day, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.